welcome to another episode of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. This is John Chance, and I have multiple guests on today. Joining me today is Rosie Taylor, Kelly Wepler, and Dawn Westerberg. They are all independent marketing consultants, happen to be members of the Duct Tape Marketing Consultant Network, and they are also co-authors of a book we're going to talk about today called Renewable Referrals, How to Cultivate More Profits. So, ladies, thanks for joining me.
Thanks, John.
So, I guess before we get too far in the book, you three are co-authors on this book, but you have some other authors as well that joined you, don't you?
That's right. We have three other authors that helped us out here. So there are six of us in total. Ray Perry out of Atlanta, Debbie DeChambeau out of the Maryland area, and Jeff Steck, who is in Austin.
Well, so I think it actually merits talking before we even talk about the book itself. I think it probably merits spending some time on what is a somewhat unique process. I have written four books now, and I, for good or bad, have written every word myself in those. And so you guys had, I guess we could almost call it a team of authors. So I wonder if you could kind of, first off, maybe, you know, how'd you come about the idea of doing a book together?
Well, actually, the genesis of it was at the last gathering, an annual meeting for all of the duct tape marketing consultants. And Kelly and I were there as well as Debbie. And we had set a goal of, after a year's time, having authored a book. And Kelly, why don't you elaborate on that point?
Sure. Well, one of the things, John, you had asked us to do at the last gathering was to make a commitment. Yeah. And the commitment that I had verbally stated was to write a book. And my commitment was also to have some element of collaboration in it. And so the six of us have kind of been collaborating for a while now and kind of, you know, in a mastermind function, that type of environment where we get together on a regular basis. And so as a group, we talked about it. And then I mentioned that that was my commitment and that was something that I was looking at doing. And we just decided as a group that why don't the six of us work together and see what we can do to produce our own book.
Was it hard to come up with a, you know, I sometimes struggle to come up with sort of a consistent thread that I want to put in my books, and I'm, you know, the only brain working on it. So, you know, was it hard to come up with even a topic that you all wanted to contribute to?
I think that referrals are critical to every business, and especially in a B2B environment, there are no impulse buys. And the time required for a prospect to move through the marketing hourglass that you talk about in duct tape marketing is usually months, but in some cases years, depending on the complexity of the products or services. And so referrals seemed like a very natural place to start as a complement while you're getting your marketing system set up, because we all consult with businesses and do their marketing for them. We can't really guarantee that we're going to be bringing business in 30 or 60 days. So the best thing to do is to get started on referrals. And I think that's why we selected referrals as our topic and kind of built off of what you did in the referral engine.
So again, I know all of you are first-time authors, so this may be a little hard to put in perspective, but would you say that you discovered any kind of unique benefits of this approach? And then, of course, the obvious, I'm going to flip around and say, were there, in your opinion, unique challenges to this approach? So, Rosie, we haven't heard from you. What's your take on that?
I think the benefit is that we all kept each other accountable. If it was me by myself, I'm sure that the books would still be in my Word docs or in right. my head, maybe. So I think that was a huge help. And just having the collaboration and the ideas of all these different people in our group was great. It really helped tremendously with different examples to support what we were trying to say.
So then how about challenges, any of you?
I think the biggest challenge is you know, keeping everybody committed to it. So that was, I think everybody was very well committed for such a large group. I wasn't sure what to expect sort of out of this experience. We'd all worked together before on some other, you know, little projects and whatnot, but this was a much bigger commitment that we'd all made. And that was the part that I think in some cases, in some weeks it was challenging, but in other weeks it was great because you had other people there that you could, you know, kind of go back to and ask for feedback from them. And also ask them for help on some of these things, because everybody, each of the six of us really had, you know, a specific skill set or specific attributes that they brought to the process. Because there was a couple of us that, you know, really were responsible for the writing of the book. Donna and I spent a tremendous amount of time on that. Mm. With working with the other folks, we'd asked sort of everybody to contribute up front. Then we sorted through the details as far as what the contributions were, and kind of went through an editing process from that perspective. But then, you know, Ray and Debbie worked on researching how to market the book and kind of taught the rest of us about that project. Rosie's online and web skills, it was, you know, really a no-brainer for her to take responsibility of that piece. Mm. And then Jeff picked up on the social media piece of it.
Well, that's interesting because that's one of the things I was going to ask of if you just kind of parceled it out and everybody took a chapter and then somebody had to make it all sound the same, because I obviously, even when I write a book all by myself, an editor plays a really key role in even taking what I've written maybe over a period of time and making it sound the same and make sure that I haven't said one thing one way and another thing another way. So that editor role is pretty crucial, I think.
Right. And the other thing we did do was go to an outside editor to help us through that process, just to really ensure that we had a consistent voice throughout the book, because that was a concern, too.
Now, are there any other collaboration now that you're through this? I know that obviously you've got a lot of work left to do in selling those books, but are there any other collaboration ideas in your future as a group?
Well, we've been collaborating on any number of things. Kelly and I are talking about a B2B lead generation book. We're in the very early stages of that. That's the mastermind group that we had. The book was just one of many projects that we had.
Yeah.
And so kind of living the book out a lot of referrals and a lot of cooperative marketing has been going on between various members of our mastermind group. I've got a couple of projects going with Rosie right now. Kelly and I touch base every other week on things specific to our particular vertical and niche that we work in that's different than the rest of the group. And I think there have been other collaborations. Those are just the ones I'm involved in, but I think other members have collaborated with the rest of the team as well.
Yeah, I think in a lot of ways what I'm hearing is it's really the mindset of collaboration that that kind of runs through what you guys are doing from a working standpoint, and the book in some ways was almost really just a natural kind of outpouring of that.
Right. And, you know, John, you've talked about this a lot, about how every business, really every business owner, needs to be publishing.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us had like a secondary goal. One, we really wanted to get that content out there to help us, within our own businesses. But there were a few of us who were wanting to go through the process to know whether or not it would be something that we would recommend to our clients,
yeah,
you know, when they get into very, very specialized markets. And it was good to know, because Rosie kind of made a joke about, well, if it had just been me, it would still be in my head or in a Word document. And I can say for sure that there wouldn't be a website up. There would, you know, there were so many moving parts to that, that I'm in a much better position to tell a client what all would be involved in putting together a book.
And we all know that a book can be a great tool on its own, but it also is a great tool to support your business almost as a marketing piece as well.
Absolutely.
So and we can edit that out. The word renewable, I'm curious a little bit if you want to explain kind of how you fell on that. As I ask a lot of the folks that I have, a lot of authors that I have on this show, sometimes if they've got a concept that's in the title, I want to know a little more about that, because that's obviously a major theme.
Yeah, that if you think in terms of, and I'm using the duct tape terminology, but going through the marketing hourglass of know, like, trust, try, buy, repeat, refer, we think of that with prospects as, you know, serial progressions. You go through that once with each of your prospects, and either you close them or you don't, and you continue to market with them. But one of the benefits of doing that with referral partners, and we've really kind of widened the net. It's not just getting customers to refer, but looking for complementary business, mm-hmm. businesses that serve your market to refer as well, is that you go through that marketing hourglass once, and multiple opportunities can come from that. It's a relationship that in a lot of ways can be developed in a much fuller and much more profitable way than with one prospect after another. And, you know, one of the things we talk about in the book is getting very creative and not just passing names back and forth, but getting into cooperative marketing, you know, sharing space at a conference or trade show, developing lists together, developing campaigns together. And that's that whole idea of renewable is really cultivating those referral relationships to continue to bring in a source of revenue.
Well, one of the things I've always found somewhat puzzling, but it's actually been good for business in a way for me and for folks like yourselves, is that I think everybody gets this idea of how powerful referrals are. But then there's this, I don't know if it's fear, if it's laziness, if it's just didn't think to do it, but nobody seems to be doing anything about it. You know, I mean, every audience I speak with, some percentage above 50% say that they get most of their business by way of referrals. But then I'll ask them that same group, well, what do you do to stimulate referrals? Oh, well, they just kind of happen. I mean, why do you suppose that is?
Commitment. I really think that the best way to launch a referral relationship is to provide a referral first. Mm. And so I think too often the reason that there's paralysis or there's this gap is that everybody goes home from the conference or, you know, goes, you know, hangs up the phone and waits for the referrals to come in rather than really kind of digging in, rolling up your sleeves and deciding I'm going to make the first move and I'm going to bring some business to my referral partners. Nothing puts you top of mind quite as quickly and indelibly as bringing someone some business.
Well, I think there's no question about that. We'll come back to that. But I'm actually talking about, you know, for a lot of people, the default is their customers. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, oh, I don't want to ask my customers, or it'll seem like I'm begging for business. And, you know, these are people that I want them to believe that I've got all the business I can handle. And I think that dynamic actually comes to play as well.
I think you're right about that. And this is one of the things that we talked about in writing the book is, you know, there's some folks that go along with the path of, you know, being very direct in terms of asking for referrals. And one of the things that we talked about in the book is you can still do that and still be subtle about it, because some people really aren't that comfortable with that process. But I think that, you know, we give some ideas in the book as to how you can do that in a much more subtle manner that maybe matches to a personality a little bit better too.
Well, and go ahead.
I was going to say too, we also talk about kind of this idea that people want to refer. So yeah. If you can make it easy for them, you'll kind of see it happen naturally because they've wanted to all along. I know when I do surveys for new clients, one of the first things I say is, would you refer this person? And they say yes. And then when I ask them, have you, they say no. And I think that's where the program comes into play. Just like you said, in referral engine, if you make it easy for them, it'll happen.
Yeah, and this is sort of the dirty little secret that I think a lot of people don't want to breach, but I think that it obviously needs to be front and center. I do think sometimes people wonder how much value they actually are delivering. And so the conversation about are you happy enough that you would refer somebody to me is a tough one to have if there's some doubt in your mind. And I get a big chuckle when I say this when I speak, but you know, quite often I'll tell people that the secret to getting more referrals is to be more referable. And it's not really much more difficult than that.
Right.
And I think that's the first thing to go to work on. So you've all mentioned this idea of, in the book, you lay out a system. So without giving away, 100 pages worth of content, can one or all of you kind of map out the components of this system? You know, I love that word.
Kelly, I thought that would be a good one for you, but
don't. If I here, I was going to accuse you of all speaking at once, and now you're all being shy.
Well, we did talk about strategy first, right? Like all of us do, and knowing who it is that you actually want referrals from, right? You don't want referrals from everybody.
I think part of it also is, we talked a little bit about this before, but the passive versus very active. And, you come back to the whole systemization piece of it and having a process that you can follow and going back and checking on that process, because I think that's, the trap that people fall into. They wait for other people to come to them and offer a referral, but aren't very active in the follow-up process. And part of that follow-up process is, again, sort of reiterating, well, what does make an ideal client for you, and who are you successful with, and what kinds of results and outcomes are you delivering? And making sure that that's the kind of information that you're actively communicating back to that referral network that you're building.
One of the things we ask the readers of the book to do is to actually document the goals that they have, and that might be quarterly. So just as you would have lead generation goals, or just as you would have revenue goals and sales goals, it's, give yourself benchmarks. This quarter I want to reach or identify, or whatever it might be, 20 to 30 referral partners in the same 90 days. I want to develop relationships with 3 out of the 30 names that I brought back from a particular conference. And then to set up the times to speak with those referral partners and to really, and then a larger goal might be, by the end of the year, I want to have exchanged guest blog posts with, 4 of my referral partners. I would like to be able to do some cooperative marketing and would invest up to X number of dollars with this referral partner. And it really is in setting up the goals and not leaving referrals to chance, but looking at it every day, just the way a business owner would monitor whatever was in the pipeline in terms of sales, to monitor the referral relationships in much the same way.
Yeah, that actually leads very nicely into the next thought I was going to have, because there are so many ways to activate and motivate and collaborate with these strategic partners because of all the wonderful online tools that we have. But one of the questions that comes up quite often is, what about incentives? A lot of people immediately, when they think in terms of referrals, go straight to, do you pay for them? Do you keep score? What's the best way to motivate somebody? And I'd love to hear your guys' take, because I know you write about it in the book.
We do. And it's going to vary based on who is making a referral to you. So for example, if you're working relationships with those who are professionals like CPAs or attorneys, you need to be very cognizant of what is acceptable within their profession. So, for example, a CPA, let's say that they make a referral to you. You happen to be selling accounting software. Well, the CPA doesn't want to jeopardize a $30,000 auditing gig to get a $3,000. Referral fee on the software. So you figure you get creative, and this would be something that you would develop in advance. And I think there are really 2 points of where you need to reward the referral. One is rewarding the behavior. So, John, you give me a referral, and immediately, just doing the minimum of saying thank you for that, both right, in writing and email, verbally, but then also sending off something. It could be a small denomination gift card, a logoed mug with candy in it, whatever is appropriate for the recipient. And I call that just rewarding the behavior.
Right.
And then have a plan for and make sure that your referral partner understands that if this business closes, it's going to result in a percentage of the revenue that comes in, a flat finder's fee, a gift card of some kind. But that should be known in advance. And it should also be very, very clear that, you know, that it's upon me closing and collecting the check for the business.
Right. So you have mentioned this idea of strategic partners, and you know I, of course, love that idea as well. What advice do you have for somebody who says, okay, I get the idea, but how do I find good referral partners, right? Because you want to co-market with these people. You want to refer them, hopefully, to your clients. I mean, so how do you go about the process of assembling kind of the best of class team?
I think it's sort of birds of a feather go together. And so I've used, for example, the Duct Tape Marketing Network, as have Kelly and Rosie, to find other marketing people that complement what it is I do. But in even going outside of marketing services, I have a real easy litmus test, and I'm sure that Rosie and Kelly have other criteria that they will share with you. But I am the most comfortable with a referral partner who is just boldly and rigorously honest with me and will answer the questions, what are the strengths, but what are the weaknesses? Because I'm dealing with my clients, and I'm not using the weaknesses as an excuse not to do business with them, but rather I need to know what the weaknesses are so that I don't lead my clients down the wrong path. And so I'm always the most comfortable with someone who is really very, very honest with me about this is where it fits and this is where it doesn't fit. And that's one thing, that's a benefit of our mastermind group, is a lot of tools, a lot of services. I've been able to talk to other marketing people and find out the context of how they've used them and when they've used them. And it makes my long list of things that I need to research a lot shorter.
Yeah, I and Kelly and Rosie, if you have something to add to that, I'd love to hear other thoughts. But I have long, and you've kind of alluded to this, but you know, asking your customers who else they think is best of class in other services, which is essentially what you're talking about. I mean, you're talking about talk to the other members of the network, and I mean, so those are people that you already have a relationship with, and that can go a long way, I think, because and especially when you're trying to then reach out to that potential strategic partner, you kind of have this shared customer that you can lean on. Rosie and Kelly, you have anything you want to add to that? Your ideas about finding good partners?
I think the other thing that goes along with that is that it's not going to happen overnight, and you can't set the expectation that, you meet somebody at a trade show today and next week you're happily going along doing business together.
Yep.
Because it somewhat resembles the whole dating scenario. You don't marry the first person you don't marry the person you first go out on a date with, that same, in a very short period of time. You got to get to know them and really understand their business because, as Dawn said, there are going to be shortcomings in every scenario, and you have to understand that. You have to make sure that you're not playing to those shortcomings and that you're providing worthy referrals for that particular strategic partner that they can really close.
And just to add to that, I think the biggest thing I look for is someone else who's already worked with them, and I really dig deep, like Dawn says, and ask them, well, what was that like? How easy is it to work with them? What are some of the things you want, that I should look out for? I think that personal referral for the strategic partner is probably the biggest thing that I look for.
I think that's a good point, Rosie, that as you work with your referral partners, that ability, one, you're leveraging off of the fact that the trust that the client has in your referral partner is being transferred to you. But mm-hmm. your referral partner can also go a long way in saying, you know, this particular client is very analytical and really wants to hear from you every single day and wants updates periodically. Or this particular client is very hands-off. They just want to know that you can get the job done and don't bother them until it's complete. You know, you can really give them some superior guidance on how to make it a great engagement.
Yeah, I think that's actually a really great point, because it's, you know, even people that have the same goals, same objectives, same values, you know, if there's a miscommunication about how to work with a client, I mean, sometimes that's where people can fall down. And we all get, you know, as business owners particularly, you know, we all get very set in our routines and the way we like to work. And so it's really a joy to find people that understand that and want to work that way as well.
Yeah, I would add to that you also need to watch each other's back. And I think it's important for referral partners to, for example, if Rosie refers someone to me and I'm working with them and they start telling me things that lead me to believe that for whatever reason they are unhappy with the work that Rosie did for them, or something's not working the way they should, that we as referral partners have agreed up front that I will let them know immediately so that they can go in and be proactive about that rather than let that fester and simmer. I mean, it's really great, because sometimes you know, we all know this. Every single one of us has spent a great deal of time sending out surveys or interviewing people. And sometimes people tell us what they think we want to hear rather than what's really going on. And your referral partner can really be a very valuable set of eyes and ears on site for you.
Dawn, I want to bring up something, because this is something Dawn and I kind of committed to, is regularly communicating. So that you're not just calling when you need something or when you want to send a referral, you're communicating in between. And it's amazing how many things actually come up, and it just solidifies the relationship even further.
Yeah, no, it's. I mean, the overarching theme that I'm hearing from you guys is this takes work, you have to be consistent, it doesn't happen overnight. And I think that's, you know, the people that put those elements together and stay at it are the ones that are going to derive the long-term benefits.
Absolutely.
So renewablereferrals.com, I know, is a site for the book. Where else can people pick it up?
Oh, they can pick it up at amazon.com.
Awesome. And will there be, are you guys preparing to do an audio version of it, you think, ever?
Right now, that's not in our plans. Though I'm a big fan of the audiobook, but maybe yeah. If there's demand for it, we will do that.
Well, I know
you'll
I,
have to give us pointers.
Well, I know I hear from people when mine isn't out, you know, right with the book, because there definitely are people that's the only way they consume content. But my biggest pointer would be that it's just first off to tell you it's a lot of work, and you have to really get good at breathing. It's amazing how hard it is to actually read out loud.
I'm picturing the six of us on an audio. That would be like crazy.
Yeah, you could just go from chapter to chapter, so it wouldn't be that much work for each of you individually.
That's true.
All right. Thanks, Rosie, Kelly, and Dawn, for joining me. And we're talking about renewable referrals, how to cultivate more profits. You can get more information at renewablereferrals.com. And, of course, pick the book up at Amazon. Thanks, ladies.
Thanks John.